You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello and welcome to another installment of the Hour of Power radio program, hosted by Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr. We're glad you could join us this morning as we delve into the Word of God. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and grab a Bible. Now here's your host, Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Thomas Robinson of Kingdom Sounds. We have an awesome program this Tuesday. We have the same power couple missionaries from Overland Missions back in the house. And I believe we're going to have an awesome time again today. And we're going to talk about some of the things that God has just been blessing them to operate in. It's not every day you get to meet true missionaries, folks that have, gone and, traded on, different types of ground and gone all over the world and stuff like that. And I want to thank the good Lord, when I look back, I've been to quite a bit of places myself, Thailand, Hong Kong, Korea, the Philippines, I'm just throwing some names out there, some other places. I won't go too far into that. But I'm not surprised now while, when I think back and I look and, I heard the Lord tell me that he was calling me to international ministry. He had to allow me to see what it was like internationally, And so I thank God for that. But anyways, we have the Mocks with us, and we have the Wickmans with us. Praise God. You met them on yesterday. Quick introduction by everybody, and then we're just going to chat, and we're going to talk about what God is doing abroad. Go ahead, everybody.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Rob, once again, Rob Mock. We're just totally honored, and it's a pleasure to be here with Pastor Robinson, as well as share what the Lord, King of Kings, is doing in the nation.
Hi, and I'm Patty Mock. I'm originally born and raised in Jacksonville, Florida. And this is the first time I've ever left the city to move and live in a different location, so I'm really excited to be down here in Coco now.
Man, sometimes we're stuck and God has to get us unstuck, as a matter of fact, go ahead, Matthew.
Hello, I'm Matthew Wickman, and I'm with Overland Missions. And I was born and raised right here in Florida, right here in Merritt Island. Graduated Merritt Island High School, and was a Destiny Christian Church right over here on Courtney. Affiliated with Overland Missions in a major way for years. Their headquarters was located inside that church, and now we're located at in Coco Village.
What year did you graduate from Merritt Island?
Me? Yeah. 1991.
1991? Okay, all right, yeah.
Few years ago.
I'm a Tiger. I'm a, Tiger. I just want you to know, yeah, you state champions five
you
times
betcha,
in a row,
you
16
betcha.
Times,
yeah.
Final four games.
Yeah,
we're impacting, go ahead.
I'm Joyce Whitman, and I'm not originally from here. I'm from back home in Indiana, and I was brought here in 2000, and at that point, the Lord radically changed my life and called me into ministry.
All right, praise the Lord.
I was a young mom at the time, and I guess my words of encouragement are that if the Lord's placed a call on your life, it may not happen today or tomorrow, but in His timing, It sure will.
I was just sharing with someone, and I'm just going to say this real quick and get out of the way, but I was just sharing with someone because sometimes we could see people birthing things all around us. And here's Elizabeth. I love the verse of scripture where she says that, the Lord has, removed her shame. But even though she birthed late in her life, she birthed quality. I mean, she birthed something that was to impact society and the world. Come on. Oh, glory to God. And so sometimes people are birthing things, and it's for them. It's for, you know, it's local. It's for them. But then there are sometimes when people have, God raised up someone, praise God, and they birthed something, and it impacts society. I mean, it, you know, we're still reading about John the Baptist today. So, hey, you know. So, all right. Well, let's get it on. Let's talk about, you know, some of the healings that God has done when you guys were in Africa and Australia and all these different places. Let's go. Let's hit it.
Well, we had one event. We went out in the bush and was sleeping in tents. And it's amazing how God just starts orchestrating things and you don't even realize what's going on. Mm-hmm. We went into a community there and they were actually having revival meetings already. And so we joined forces with them and started going door to door. And they had a young group of teenagers that had a praise team, and so they were literally bringing in the praise and we were bringing in the word together.
Wow.
So it was amazing. You could just feel the Spirit of God moving, and we went throughout the community, the chiefdom, and we saw different healings taking place. And one that still touches my heart today, there was this whole group of family that was there, and the baby was sick, and the baby had boils all over its body. And so we started praying. And as we were praying for the baby, these sores started manifesting and coming. You could see, I don't want to be gross, but I'm just going to be honest.
Tell it
and
like it is.
You could see literally the pus starting coming to the surface.
Wow.
And we saw that the baby had a charm, which was just really, if you're from the States, you wouldn't even have recognized what it was, not knowing. It was just literally a piece of thread that was wrapped around the baby's waist. And so someone happened to see it and realized what it was. And so we told them, you can't have that on your baby. Your baby's being cursed. And so we took it off, and we actually were able to burn all the charms with them. And just to see, they knew about Jesus. And they believed in Jesus in this particular area, but they were serving two masters at one time.
Yeah.
You know, we know what the word says. You cannot serve two masters at one time. One's going to have more authority over the other in your life, and it's the one that you give that authority.
Right.
So they were given the authority to the enemy by going to the witch doctor and getting these charms and putting them on their children. But we saw, like, this great deliverance that started taking place throughout that entire area. And it was just amazing to see right before our very eyes the healing starting to come to the surface of this child.
My God, awesome. I know that he can do it. I sat in a service one day, and a friend of mine, Thomas Murray, he brought his daughter. I invited him to a revival. He brought his daughter. There was a pastor, not a pastor, but an evangelist from California. And he was, man, I'm telling you, I'll put it this way. His 12-year-old daughter was sitting there. And he said, you feel heat in your mouth, don't you? He was walking the aisles and preaching. He said, you feel heat in your mouth, don't you? And she started shaking her head, and she had her hand up to her mouth. And he said, God is straightening out your teeth. God straightened a young lady, Camelia Murray. As a matter of fact, you can look her up on Facebook and, you know, just see her teeth. You know, God straightened the girl's teeth out in the service, you know. And he used to brag. He's gone on to be with the Lord, but he used to brag and say, my daughter got the straightest teeth in the house, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, there's nothing too hard for God. Who else got a testimony?
Praise him. Praise him. I'll go ahead and kind of dovetail on the story that Patty was talking about. This particular chiefdom, the Nyawa chiefdom, they were actually setting the ground up for us to come there, which we didn't even know. She talked about the revival, the crusade that they had already started there. You could hear the drums beating till 2 o'clock in the morning, most mornings.
Hmm.
And so...
And we have such short church here compared to what's overseas.
Well, it's funny you mention that, because, you know, some of them, they will walk for 2 or 3 hours just to get to a service. So it would really be discrediting them and their efforts to get there if they only did, you know, 3 songs, a message, and a song out the door.
That's
so
true.
Those services will last, you know, anywhere between 3, 5, 6 hours, if not longer, you know, just based on that fact.
Woo.
And, so this particular night, actually, Patty was asked to share the word, and God laid John 3:16 on our heart, because in this particular area, there was a belief that God or salvation was only for the white man. And so whenever she brought the word, the word was, whosoever believes in him will receive everlasting life. And so, you know, it was a good message, and they may have even heard it before, but they hadn't heard it from someone, you know, of Eastern European descent. So whenever they continued to, plus also she was a woman. So it was a little bit hard for them to hear a message sometimes from, from a woman's minister. So she yielded to the pastor, who gave her the permission to go ahead and deliver the word. But he was like, oh no, you've started something here. We're going to bring you back up and we're going to finish this. So it was something. They went ahead and started, God laid on their hearts to set up a fire tunnel. I'd never seen a fire tunnel before. I was like, okay. So they took the elders and some of the praying people in the congregation and set them up, you know, in a column. So there was a row down the center that people would walk through, and they're getting prayed
for
as they're walking through it. And
praise
so literally
Lord.
Just the fire of God fell in that area. And people started getting delivered, falling on the ground, getting delivered. And you could literally see they would start snaking. And you would see, you know, just deliverance right in front of your very eyes. And so it was just, you know, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. And literally, probably anywhere between 40 and 50 people got healed or delivered in that service. And it just kind of set the tone for the rest of the week while we were there. It was, she mentioned about a choir. As we're going into the to each village, we're bringing this choir with us, and they were just, you know, bringing in the worship and the praise. And you know, it tells us in the word, you know, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And that's exactly what we were doing, just bringing that and ushering it, the presence of which the presence is important. That's a whole nother message in and of itself. But we would literally usher the presence of the Lord in everywhere we went.
That's so good, because sometimes people don't understand, you know, the presence of God is everywhere.
Amen.
But his manifested presence is not everywhere. And what I mean by that is that there's evidence. It was evident that Mary had had an encounter with the manifested presence of God. I think you look like you had something to say.
Yeah, I wanted to add to that, that particular night, because this was new for us as far as deliverance. We had not been, as you were talking about, having birthing things in the spirit. And that had not been a part of our ministry yet. But so I was a little confused, because we had seen people get hit by the power of God and go out in the spirit. And these people were being touched and laying out on the floor, but then all of a sudden started manifesting, as Rob had said, this whole nother demonic spirit. And so I was a little confused, like, Lord, what's going on here? I thought you were touching them, and now I'm seeing this demonic. And
you're
he said, I did touch them. And because where I am at, where I show up, the demonic cannot stay. So it has to come out. That was a pretty powerful evening that we experienced.
Powerful. Don't leave us hanging. Don't leave us hanging. I'm sure you're the cameraman. You were picturing it. You're all over with the camera.
I'm a professional fly on the wall is what I am. there's a couple of things I want to hit on. I had talked about my healing and what had happened. The message is that you can't give what you don't have. And so in one of my AMT experiences, we're on expedition, and we went into one of the homes, and the mother she was older, so she had grown children, she was real upset. She very much a godly woman. She had been part of the church for years, but she was having trouble with her children, because her sons were going to the local bar, and this is in rural Zambia. So the local bar is just simply a hut or a small building with no AC, no doors, and they just have boxed in alcohol. So that's what they call the bar. And so they would stay out all night and drink. And so we're talking with her, and we're telling her, hey, you have authority. There is nothing like a mother's prayer before the Lord. It just absolutely He hears you, and he will not let any of your prayers fall void in Jesus' name. And so we're, as we're ministering to her, the son comes, and he is drunk, man. He comes in, and he's kind of flopping around, and he just flops down. You know, he's trying to be respectful to his mother, but you can tell he's you know, and she's just, and she goes, starts speaking her language towards him, and just, you know, and you know, and giving him, scolding him a little bit, and so we, through our translator, we find out he's got a real bad foot. His foot has been injured in some way. I don't know if it's if it was like a fungus rot or something of that nature, but it was so bad that he could barely walk on it. He was a bad limp. So you know, our guide, our expedition leader said, let's pray healing over him. So I began to pray healing over him, and I looked at him and I said, you know what, if you're going to be healed, you got to get up and walk on it. You just can't just leave it there. Just like what happened with me when I got healed, he told me I had to go do something. Right. So I ran. Right. And so I was like, so I'm just thinking about all this in my mind, and I'm like, well, I have to give what I got. So I looked at him, I picked him up with my hands, I took his hands, I lifted him up, I said, come with me, and we ran together. And as he starts limping, but then he starts running, and then the limp goes away, and we look at the foot, and the foot doesn't have that gray, cracky look to it any longer. It had been healed instantly right there. And I can't say this for a fact, but it really looked like he sobered up real fast.
My God.
Like, it was an instant sobering. And so the his eyes, you know, we've all been around drunk people where their eyes are just, or stone people. You can tell the difference in their eyes. And his eyes were fully focused and fully at this point. And he wasn't, you know, stammering around anymore. So God had really done a deliverance there. And mom was just weeping when that was all over.
It's so awesome when the power of God accompanies the word. The word Amen. Is preached, and then you see, you know, the power of God at work after the word is preached. What are some of the other things that God has done?
One more thing, real quick, just real fast. We had talked earlier about the sovereignty of God and the little curse thing that they would put on babies.
Let's get into
They'd
that.
Put those little charms around the baby. So there was it's kind of a combination of ritual. Their ritual, ancient understandings of spiritism, and then mixed in with the Christianity, the missionaries that have come in the past.
Right.
So there's kind of a mixture, and we have that. Most denominations, in some way, have these mixtures, right? Well, this particular, they're very in Zambia. They're a very spiritual understanding, very spiritual people, and so when on my second expedition, we stayed at a schoolyard. And there's homes around the schoolyard for the teachers, and this particular home was abandoned. They stuck us in it, and we walked in the door, and there was a pile of corn, old corn cobs sitting in the middle of it, so we couldn't stay in it. So we stayed outside, and in the yard area, and as we're staying there, about 6 a.m. maybe even 5-ish. I'm up. We're already up. We're getting the pots going on the fire and everything. And here comes the head man, which is kind of a chief, but he's in charge of that particular village because they have like a hierarchy. And the head man and the teacher, the lead teacher, come up, and they're talking to my translator, and he comes to me and he says, they're really surprised. Was everything okay that night? Yeah, everything's okay then. Did you guys sleep okay? Yeah, slept fine. Well, that's amazing to us, because the reason why it's abandoned is because it's cursed. It's been cursed, and nobody lives there anymore because it's cursed. And so you should have not been able to sleep through the night, because they'll come to you in your dreams and torture you. And we're like, no pestilence shall fly our tent at all. Come near us, and my particular message during our, because we go as a team, we have different messages that each one of us are given, and mine was on the sovereignty of God. Amen. Amen.
I'm glad you're bringing that up, because I believe sometimes that we don't realize how much, especially when I got to California and I was there for about a year and a half, but how much witchcraft is really going on, even in this even in this nation. I remember when I used to come home and I'd start picking up that spirit, and so one day I brought it up to my wife. I guess she probably was picking it up also, and I said, you know, how come every time I pull up in the neighborhood in Vieira, how come I pull up in the neighborhood, I'm always discerning witchcraft? And my wife said, that's because it's right across the street. I'm like, what? You know? And I get my Bible one day, and I go over next door, and I begin to chat with the person and show, you know, and because they're like, oh, it's no harm. But guess what? They're showing up in our churches. There's been times when I've been up preaching and beginning to go down that lane. And next thing you know, my wife, who's very sharp in the spirit, you know, she gets up and she walks over and she confronts the lady. And I tell you what, we on more than one occasion, I put it this way. It's always, well, I'm not involved in that. I used to be in that, you know. And another occasion, I decided to come out for Sunday school one morning, and there was a new person there, and I was picking up witchcraft. I didn't know exactly who it was, but I said, if you come in here trying anything, you're going to walk out of here with no legs like the snake in the book of Genesis. Well, make a long story short, the couple that brought him, afterwards, they met us for dinner, and they were like, we were over there saying, woo, because, you know, he told us that he had been involved in sorcery and all this stuff, you know. But we have to have some discernment in our churches nowadays that, guess what, we could pick up what's coming into our houses, because everybody that's dressed up, looking nice, got a suit on or whatever, some of these folks that are walking up in the churches, they're coming up in there to practice their little, you know.
Amen.
All right. Now, we want to find out... We want the people to know, how can they be a blessing? How can they support, partner with you guys and what you're doing and what you're called to do? And so who's going down that road? Who's talking about it?
I'll go ahead and dive in. Literally, for the price of your daily Starbucks coffee, you can support a full-time missionary that's on the field preaching the gospel to the lost. You know, so it's real simple, and it doesn't take as much as a lot of people think. You know, we have partners that are supporting us from anywhere between $5 a month up to over $500 a month. And so it's real simple to be able to do. We really love the heart of our partners, and we pray with them. It's not just a one and done type relationship. We call them up. They're involved in our lives. We're involved in their lives. We pray with them as much as we possibly can. They call us up and text us, and it's literally a relationship. It's not just like I said, that one and done. And so the easiest way to get in touch with us is probably through social media, Facebook. You can go to Mock Ministry on Facebook, MockMinistry. Or you can just go to our website. It's a little long here. It's mockministry.wixsite.com/mysite.
That is long. You might want to do that a couple more times, right? As a matter of fact, you know.
All right. And it's mockministry.wixsite.com/mysite, M-Y-S-I-T-E.
I can't tell you what to do, but I'm going to believe God, you're going to shorten that up big time. It's like, you know, I can see someone on the other end with a pen, you know, trying to write. Praise God. You got a telephone number.
Yes. Feel free to reach out to us at area code 904-930-2324 or email mockministry@gmail.com.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot shorter. mockministries@gmail.com. And let's give that telephone number one more time.
Area code 904-930-2324.
Okay, anybody else has anything to say about?
Sure. Joy and I, we're located at Overland Missions, www.overlandmissions.com.
Okay.
And then also we're
614-1288. Again, it is 321-614-1288.
Okay. And that's overlandmissions.com. Overlandmissions.com. All right. Well, praise the Lord. I pray that you be a blessing, that even as you give, the good Lord will give back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, even as you give, that wealth and riches will be in your houses, and that God will bless the work of your hand, and he will make you the head on your jobs and not the tail, above and not beneath, even as you give. In Jesus' name. All right, this is Apostle Thomas Robinson of Victory International Praise. We thank you for listening in at Kingdom Sounds. I really sure hope that you all enjoyed these missionaries. Praise God. It's not too often that we get a chance to cross paths with, you know, missionaries, people that are out in the field doing the work of the Lord. Praise God. Sometimes we get so comfortable and boxed into a church that, you know, we don't get out of the four corners of the wall. So I love it when you meet people that have actually stepped out the four corners of the wall and that are doing the work of the Lord. All right. Well, we love you all. We thank you for listening in. We thank God for WWBC 94.7, 100.7, and 99.9. We thank God for you listening in.
Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you are in tune to 1510 AM WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville and the Beaches.
And this is John Stone Street from Breakpoint. This week on Breakpoint, we're looking back at some of the best commentaries of 2022. Before we get into today's podcast, I want to remind you that Breakpoint is a listener-supported program. If this is a resource that helps you and your family think and live in this confusing cultural moment from the stable ground of a Christian worldview, please consider supporting us with your prayers and with a year-end gift. Every gift will help us start next year financially strong. Please go to ColsonCenter.org/December. That's ColsonCenter.org/December. Here's Breakpoint. On Monday night, an initial draft of the Supreme Court majority opinion on the Dobbs case was leaked to the news site Politico. And on Tuesday morning, Chief Justice John Roberts confirmed the authenticity of the draft and then called the leak, quote, a betrayal of confidences of the court intended to undermine the integrity of our operations. What's not clear is how the leaked draft of the majority opinion will compare to the final draft. Unless it is somehow significantly gutted, Justice Samuel Alito has thoroughly and thoughtfully dismantled, at least in legal terms, the 50-year hold that Roe v. Wade has held on America. Here are three observations from that leaked draft. First, Alito thoroughly dismantles the claim that the right to an abortion is found anywhere in the Constitution. He states, quote, the Constitution makes no reference to abortion, and no such right is implicitly protected by any constitutional provision, end quote. Thus, Alito concludes, the 1992 follow-up case to Roe v. Wade, known as Planned Parenthood v. Casey, would also be overruled. Second, Alito dismantles what he calls Roe's most important rule, that states cannot protect fetal life prior to viability. When Roe was established, viability was considered to be around 28 weeks of gestation. Well, today, it's at 24 weeks or even younger. Viability, Alito further notes, is also based on the health of the mother and the hospital facilities where she lives. Quote, the viability line makes no sense, and it's telling that other countries almost uniformly eschew such a line. Third, if this decision holds, the court would not be outlawing abortion, but would be returning the decisions about abortion back to the states. In the years prior to Roe v. Wade, writes Alito, about a third of the states had liberalized their laws, but Roe abruptly ended that political process. He then surmises that some states will expand abortion rights and others will limit them. But this is how states are supposed to work. State legislators will work out state regulations for abortion instead of a court. And voters, therefore, will have a voice in the process. In a tweeted response to the leak, Senator Elizabeth Warren pressed for the elimination of the filibuster so that Congress could pass the Women's Health Protection Act. And, of course, the leaked draft of Alito's opinion led to numerous references to The Handmaid's Tale and to the tired old claim that pro-lifers only care about babies until they are born. None of these claims